And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am Chip Patterson, and it is my pleasure to bring back easily one of our favorite, one of our most well-received shows of the 2012 season. It is the Expert Picks podcast. And with me, I've assembled the panel of experts, and we will not only give you some of our opinions, but we were also going to sort of try and explain the background behind some of the expert picks that you will find on CBSSports.com. Of course, if you would like to find them, just go to CBSSports.com, college football, look for expert picks or picks up in the toolbar, and you can check us out. Our pretty faces are there, and now to bring some voices to those faces, let me introduce first of all, Tom Fornelli. Tom, you, of course, have joined the podcast already. Are you confident in your week one picks?
No.
Nice. Jerry. Jerry, you won, right? Didn't you win last year?
I was, of our six experts, our panel, I finished number one picking the games against the spread by a couple of games. It wasn't a particularly impressive performance. I think the final percentage was like around 56%, I want to say. So I want something that starts with a six this season. It's going to be tough picking every single top 25 game against the spread. Vegas knows what it's doing, but I think with a lot of research and a lot of luck, it can be done. So that's where we're aiming.
He's so humble now that we're on the podcast. Yeah. Every damn day last season, he was mentioning how he was in first place.
There was that one day I didn't.
Well, so like so many quarterbacks, Jerry is striving for that 60% this year. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in, mixing up the format a little bit to focus on some of the headliner games, but also give you know, as an amateur fan who perhaps might be interested in some of these point spreads, that we'll give you some locks and also our quarantine, the games that we think you just want to stay away from because it's just not going to be a very, very confident selection either way. So we will begin with one of the closest spreads in all of the top 25. It is, of course, Georgia and Clemson. This is, in some places, you've seen it as a pick 'em. The way that we picked it on CBSSports.com, Georgia was a 1.5-point favorite. Tom, Jerry, I'm going to ask each of you for, first, your selection, and second, let's call it a fact that matters. This is sort of your one, you know, whether it's a statistic, whether it's an injury or a news item, sort of the one bit of reasoning that sort of tipped you that way. Because in theory, a spread is set so that it's 50-50 either way. What about the game is making you decide on your selection? Begin with the reigning champion, Jerry Hinnon, Georgia and Clemson. What was your pick, and what is your fact that matters?
Okay, I've got Clemson in this game. I understand why it's a toss-up, basically, to the Vegas guys. You know, they're saying there's a very slight edge to Georgia. You know, you say 3 points for home field advantage, so they're saying on a neutral field, Georgia would be a 3-point favorite. They are a 1.5-point favorite. Which would make them a 4.5-point favorite. See, we got to get the week one, jitters out of the way here.
Math,
on neutral
are.
Field, Georgia would be a 4.5-point favorite. Anyways, I took Clemson. I think home field advantage is going to be a big deal. I think this is just a bigger game for Clemson than it is Georgia. Both teams obviously have their eyes sort of trained on maybe making a national championship push. But Clemson's the team that kind of, I think, has the chip on its shoulder. And we saw that in the LSU game last season in the Chick-fil-A Bowl against LSU, when you saw the emotional reaction from the players and Dabo Swinney afterwards. And obviously Dabo's kind of emotional. I imagine, you know, if he eats a particularly satisfying Snickers, you know, just pumping and this kind of thing. But still, the reaction after that game was even bigger. You know, I realize that's not really a fact, so I'll go with my fact is this. That was kind of amazing against the spread. He is 30-16 over the last 4 years against anyone other than South Carolina. Against South Carolina, he's 0-4. Against everybody else, he covers almost twice as often as he loses against the spread, which is pretty remarkable.
Tom?
I went with Clemson as well, and part of my main reasoning is because, you know, Clemson is playing at home in this game, and it's not like they're a bad team. They did just beat LSU in the Chick-fil-A Bowl at New Year's Eve last year. So they've proven they could beat, you know, the SEC's best teams, even if they haven't proven they could beat South Carolina yet. I think that's the next step for them. But also, I just look at Georgia, and while Aaron Murray and that offense are going to be fine, and they're going to put up points against Clemson, Georgia's secondary, you know, there's a lot of questions going into this game. It's young. They've got some injuries, people missing. And if you're making your first start as a college football player, is it really Clemson, Taj Boyd, and Sammy Watkins? Are these really the guys you want to be facing on the road in your very first game? I think because of that, Clemson's got the slight edge. So if you're going to give me points with them, it's hard for me to pass up on that.
Moving from Death Valley to our first of three neutral site games that we'll be discussing here in the headliners portion. The first of which being TCU and LSU. The way we picked this game is at 4.5. Now, I don't know if this will necessarily change anyone's opinion, but I will say that I did not include this as my quarantine game, but you know, if you're someone who is looking at this spread, the fact that we don't know what's going to happen with Jeremy Hill, and now we don't even know what's going to happen with Devontae Fields, the All-Big 12 defensive end for TCU, this would certainly be one that you should feel very wary of. Let's reverse it. Tom, what is your thought on this game, and what is your fact that matters?
I think we do know what to expect with Jeremy Hill and Devontae Fields, because I think Hill's going to play because Miles said he would a month ago, and Patterson said Fields wanted a month ago. So I think now this is just posturing to screw with each other. I think we know what's going to happen in this game. And I also think, you know, LSU is going to cover. TCU's defense is great, but you take away its best defensive player, and I don't care if Jeremy Hill's playing or not. I think LSU's going to have an advantage on this defense without TCU's best player on the field. I think LSU's just a better team overall. I mean, TCU is not coming off the best year. Yes, they lost Casey Bahal last year. That definitely had an impact, and he's back. And as far as we know, he's the starter. They haven't made it official yet, but I think we could be safely assume he will be the starter. But still, he's been off for a year. He's coming back, and his first game is against an LSU defense. I don't really like his chances. I think LSU's the better team, and I think it'll be obvious on Saturday.
This feels an awfully lot like a low-scoring game to me. What's your read on it, Jerry?
I would agree with that. I think it's going to be a tight game, which means that LSU is going to win it. I've got LSU both straight up and against the spread. You know, it's a tight enough spread that you kind of have to just pick whichever team you honestly think is going to win the game. And LSU just wins these sorts of games. Like, every year we look for reasons, you know, why LSU isn't going to necessarily be the same LSU we've seen the last several years under Les Miles, and they end up always being pretty much the same LSU team we've seen under Les Miles. And, you know, they win these games. They beat Washington like a drum last year. They beat Oregon 2 years ago when I think our CBS experts, I think we had, you know, all six or all seven were taking the Ducks against the spread. They beat North Carolina. They, you know, beat West Virginia. They just win these non-conference BCS games. That's my fact. They've won 10 straight season openers, including that Oregon game. That Arizona State game, you may remember several years ago, where the placed kicker missed, I think, a couple of extra points. These are the sorts of things that happen when LSU plays these non-conference games. They just win them. They're going to win this one, I think. And, you know, that being the case, it won't surprise me necessarily if TCU keeps it within a field goal and covers. But I think the most likely outcome is that LSU covers the 4.5.
And we will move from Arlington over to Houston, where we've got another and I've said this a little bit this week, but for as many traditions that the rise of television has sort of caused in college football, I think television is who we have to thank for the reason why we have so many good games here on this first weekend. We don't have to wait till the middle of September before we see heavyweights play each other. Mississippi State, Oklahoma State. Now, the Bulldogs, not a top 25 team, while the Cowboys are number 13 and projected to win the Big 12, according to the preseason poll. But this spread's at 12.5. We'll start back with you, Jerry. What's your pick here, and what is your fact that matters? Because with a lot of turnover on for both teams, I struggled to have a fact, and I will say that I went blind on this one.
Well, here, let me give you a fact.
Give it to me.
the last 2 years, Mississippi State is 2-11 against the spread, playing teams that eventually went to a bowl. 2-11. And one of those was the infamous game, at least infamous amongst gamblers, who will remember this very clearly, when Mississippi State was catching 3 points. They were down 4 to South Carolina, and Spurrier called for an intentional safety on the final play of the game. That was one of those two covers. So aside from that, you know, sort of miraculous cover, they're 1-12, you know, against the spread, against future bowl teams the last 2 years. So if you think that Oklahoma State is good enough to go to a bowl game this season,
yes,
and I think most people probably would, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to take Mississippi State in this game. Oklahoma State's offense is just has too much firepower, I think. There's some, you know, Mississippi State's going to be about the same team they've been the last couple of years. But, as again, as we've seen, that type of team so far, you know, they can always surprise me. But from what we've seen, that team isn't good enough to hang with legitimate top 25 caliber opposition.
And, Tom, first of all, that great fact there, and that is why Jerry probably ends up beating us, because I go in blind and he looks up the statistics against teams that go on to bowl games. Tom, what was your pick?
I'm also going with Oklahoma State, and it's somewhat in line with what Jerry was saying, whereas as we've gone over on the site before, I think Oklahoma State at 13 to start the season is probably a bit high. But last year, Mississippi State played 5 teams with a pulse. And in those 5 games, the Bulldogs went 0-5, losing by an average of 21.4 points per game. So while I think Oklahoma State is a bit overrated to start the year, it still definitely qualifies as a team with a pulse. And even though the game's in Houston, I still feel like this is more of a home game for the Cowboys than it will be for the Bulldogs. So unless Mississippi State's, you know, they got some cool new helmets that they'll be wearing in the game, but that's not going to be enough to cover the spread.
Way to plug what we've got on the blog. If you'd like to see what those helmets are, just go to the Eye on College Football. All right, moving on to Atlanta, another BCS non-conference battle. Unfortunately, I think this one looked a lot better probably back in January or so.
Like in 2010 or so?
Well, yeah, in 2010 when Virginia Tech is coming off an ACC title, and this looked incredible. Unfortunately, Virginia Tech, hobbled by injuries, just a lot of inexperience on the offensive side, including some defensive depth issues, which, you know, you did not think was going to become something that happens under Bud Foster's reign. But Virginia Tech coming into Atlanta, going up against Alabama, they are 19.5 point underdogs. Starting back with you, Tom, what was your pick and what was your fact that matters?
You pretty much stole all my facts that matter. It's Alabama, and it's for all the reasons you just said. This is an inexperienced Virginia Tech offense with Logan Thomas, who, you know, didn't have a very good year last year. Let's just leave it at that. Going against the Alabama defense, and it's a Virginia Tech defense that has some issues depth-wise going against the Alabama offense. I think the 19.5 point spread is a bit generous to the Hokies. I don't see this game being of much interest past midway through the second quarter.
Jerry?
I'm in complete agreement with my colleague here. Get this, Alabama has won their last 10 non-conference games against BCS opponents against the spread, not just straight up. Like, they've covered 10 straight non-conference BCS games. So that's the kind of streak we're talking about. Here's another little bonus fact that matters. Anyways, extra time to prepare, either in a bowl game or the first BCS opponent of the season. Nick Saban is 11-1 against the spread at Alabama. Not as much before he got to Tuscaloosa, but for whatever reason, you know, the whole preparation myth, as, again, Tom sort of looked at a little while back on the blog, you know, didn't necessarily exist before he got to Tuscaloosa. It does exist there. I think this game is going to be a horrible blowout. Scott Leffler, you know, Virginia Tech's new offensive coordinator, did not look like the sort of person you would really want to turn around your offense while he was at Auburn. I don't see any way this game stays under 3 touchdowns.
Another little factoid I checked earlier, going with what Jerry was saying, in the last 5 years, the first BCS team that Alabama has played on their schedule each season, they've won each game by an average of 20 points.
Huh. Well, this is probably This is probably not when the team that takes the field for Virginia Tech will have 15 redshirt freshmen and 10 true freshmen on the dress squad. That is 25, or I think almost like 30 or 40% of the team playing their first college football game. Yeah, so we'll talk about locks later, but let's say that I would guess that's a nomination. And now let's go over Thursday night game. This one kicks off the 2013 college football season. South Carolina, North Carolina. South Carolina, 11.5-point favorites the way we picked them. The Tar Heels coming in have major defensive issues, but also South Carolina, while you have Connor Shaw and Dylan Thompson, you do not have your go-to wide receiver. Ellington is potentially – I think he'll end up playing, but he's been hobbled by injury just a little bit. Mike Davis is the new running back. Let's start back with Jerry. Jerry, what's your read on this game, and what's your fact that matters?
I've got South Carolina covering the spread as well as winning straight up because they're at home. Since here's your fact. Since Connor Shaw took over as the starting quarterback – in the Kentucky game in 2011, the previous week, Stephen Garcia had, you know, are we allowed to say crap the bed? Because he crapped the bed against Auburn the previous week. Week five, it was a 16-13 loss to an Auburn team that was not good. It eventually cost him going to Atlanta. Anyways, the following week, week six, Connor Shaw comes in against Kentucky. They win 54-3, and that game included home games. Since Connor Shaw took over the starting job, South Carolina is 8-1 against the spread at home. Lost one time to Tennessee last year. They've covered the other eight times. I'm sure everyone listening to this remembers them blowing out Georgia last year. They blew out Clemson 2 years ago. They've covered against the likes of East Carolina, UAB, Missouri, Arkansas. At home, they are a force to be reckoned with Connor Shaw at the helm, as he is going to be on Thursday night. For me, that's way too strong a trend line to go against. I think the spread, you know, just sort of eyeballing it is a little bit higher. If I wasn't aware of that kind of trend, I might go with the Tar Heels. I think, you know, Larry Fedora's got a pretty good record of, you know, as being the underdog in these big kind of games. But, you know, this just seems like that sort of game where you look up at the end and it's been close for three quarters, and then suddenly South Carolina, you know, maybe – Clowney gets a huge sack and, you know, a fumble on the 10-yard line, and suddenly, whoops, they won by 17. You know, that's the sort of game this feels like today.
See, sorry, Tom, I don't mean to cut you off. I'll be brief. I see it, and again, this, who knows who will end up being right on this one. I think this is a game that it will feel like South Carolina is in control the entire time, but maybe at the end you've just got that late touchdown. Just with Bryn Renner running the offense, Carolina can score very, very quickly. And I see not a garbage time touchdown, but I definitely see a late touchdown that maybe trims the difference to 7 or 10. But that was just explaining my pick. Tom, give me your pick and your fact that matters.
You know, this was one of the games when we were looking this week that it took me more time to try to figure this one out than the others. But what it came down to for me was a lot of what Jerry mentioned is just South Carolina's been very good at home against the spread in the last few years. And then also North Carolina last year on the road against the spread was 0-4. So when I combined those two, and I was kind of on the fence because I could see reasons to pick North Carolina covering this, but looking at South Carolina's home record against the spread and North Carolina's road record against the spread, that was pretty much a deciding factor for me.
Yeah, well, that's numbers occasionally lie. All right, locks. Is there a non-Virginia Tech Alabama division for locks?
No, not in this sense.
I mean, that was my lock. What, Jerry, did you have another one other than that?
Sure. I'm going to take Toledo plus 23.5 against Florida.
I think the
Gator offense still doesn't seem like it's really clicking. They're going to miss, you know, Matt Jones. The tailback is out for this week. Antonio Morrison, their linebacker, is suspended for this week. That's not as big an issue. The Gator defense is going to be perfectly fine anyway. But the Gators have really struggled with non-conference BCS teams, you know, under Will Muschamp last year. Really kind of flailed against Bowling Green, although that may have been two seasons ago. I'm trying to mix them together. Yeah, I think that was last year. It was last year. 2 years ago, they opened with, I think, Florida Atlantic. Anyways, really flailed against Bowling Green, which was the last time they played a MAC team. And then they needed a freaking pop block at the end of the game to beat Louisiana Lafayette more towards the end of the season. They've got Miami coming up next week, so it's kind of a look-ahead situation as well. I think everybody in Gainesville knows that, you know, they can kind of go half speed and still beat the Rockets, you know, and that everybody, it's really going to be all hands on deck for Miami the following week. So, you know, Toledo's not a bad team at all, went to a bowl game last season, you know, gave Arizona fits in their season opener last season, so there's some precedent for Matt Campbell doing well against BCS competition as well. I really, really like the Rockets, you know, catching again. 23.5 is a pretty big spread. I like them a lot.
I got another one. It's not my lock. My lock is still definitely Alabama covering against Virginia Tech. But another game I would look at where I feel very confident is Cal +6.5 at home against Northwestern, because Northwestern's coming off a really good year. But they're also traveling to the West Coast, which is tough for any Big Ten team usually, in the first game of the year. And also the game's late at night. So for Northwestern players, you know, the game's starting on their time. It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock. Also, with Sonny Dykes taking over Cal, we know that they're going to be chucking the ball through the air. They're going to be passing a lot. And where Northwestern's defense struggled quite a bit last year at times was in pass defense. So when you combine the fact that they're going on the road, they're playing late at night, and they're placing a passing team, and plus they're getting 6.5 points as road favorites, I feel very confident in Cal covering that spread. If not winning, it's definitely going to be a cover.
Now let's move to the quarantine games. This is the game that you absolutely would not want to go near. Tom, what's yours?
I went, you know, it's a cop-out pick, but I went with Oregon-Nicholls State because even though I'm fairly confident Oregon will probably cover the 58.5 point spread, it's still a 58.5 point spread. And I don't, if you're actually putting your hard-earned picks on this game, it's, there's something, you know, you should probably seek some kind of help because there's no way you should be risking that against the spread that large, because Oregon can score 60 points and give up a field goal at the last second and win 60-3, and that's not a cover. So I would stay that as far away from that game as I possibly could.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Tom, because my quarantine game is Texas-New Mexico State. And it's at 42.5 right now, and my note beside it was that I have more confidence in Oregon covering 58.5 than I do Texas covering 42.5 against New Mexico State. And I know that the offense is supposed to be, you know, more up tempo, and David Ash, you know, you imagine he's had another year. Everyone says that he had such a great offseason, but still, man, that's I feel horrified looking at that. So that is mine. Jerry, what's yours?
Yeah, well, you know, these games we're talking about with 40 plus point spreads, you know, it comes down to how hard is the head coach going to keep his sort of hand on the throttle, so to speak? How good are the third stringers? You know, okay, so can Texas's third string offense continue to put up points against New Mexico State's, like, mix of starters and backups? That's what we're asking when we ask, can Texas cover 42.5 against New Mexico State? Nobody knows that. Mack Brown doesn't know that. Doug Martin, who is now New Mexico State's head coach, does not know that. Obviously, we do not know that. We can take a guess, but that's most of it. So, you know, I'll pick one where, you know, maybe we're talking about actual teams and an actual spread here. I would not want to have any of my hard-earned picks, as Tom put it, on the line with Boise State and Washington. Washington, I think, is the better team here. They really outplayed Boise in their bowl game last year. This is a rematch from the Las Vegas Bowl. Washington really wasted some major offensive opportunities in that game. Bishop Sankey ran all over him. I think he had more than 200 yards. They're at home. Keith Price is now in his senior year as a starting quarterback. Jason Williams is there at receiver. Lots of guys back on Justin Wilcox's defense. You know, the guy who came over from Boise, sort of he took a detour through Tennessee, but really big improvement there. I really think Washington is going to win this game. I think they cover the 3.5, but this is the sort of situation where you cannot bet against Chris Peterson. Like, he's been so good in it. year after year in these openers or the bowl games. You know, last year he took the Broncos to Michigan State. Really should have been, you know, a blowout for Michigan State, but they picked up a defensive touchdown, really played great red zone defense, and snuck out of there with, I think, a three-point loss. You know, that's the sort of thing that happens with Boise State and Chris Peterson when they go on the road, when they play these BCS opponents. I think Washington covers, but it's not a game I would want to have anything serious on the line with.
And there you have it. Folks, that is just all the advice you could possibly need to enjoy your first week of checking out the spreads. I'd like to thank my experts, both Jerry Hinnan and Tom Fornelli. Remember, you can get all of the CBSSports.com expert picks by going to College Football, and you will see a link to the expert picks on the homepage in the upper right-hand corner. You will see the picks both straight up and against the spread from the three of us, as well as Dennis Dodd, Bruce Feldman, and, of course, Jeremy Fowler. Now, if you would like to follow Jerry Hinnan and tell him how you disagree with his picks, it's at Jerry Hinnan. If you would like to follow Tom Fornelli on Twitter and tell him how you disagree with his picks, it's at Tom Fornelli. I am at Chip_Patterson. And for these fine gentlemen, I'd like to thank you very much for tuning in to another Expert Picks podcast here on CBSSports.com.